apple season. Lisa Wingate. It is at least apple season. That one thing might save them. Although whether it can is yet uncertain. The orchard grandmother planted long ago on the mountain's craggy slopes has gone wild and spindly, without enough hands to tend it for 3 seasons now. Still, the hardy little trees have done their part. As September slipped into October, and New York's Berkshire foothills donned their scarves of fog, the ragged orchard came in heavy-laden, branches bowed to the ground, sometimes split at the forks under the weight of the ripening fruit. The trees, once again, proved themselves to be the kind of scrappy, determined things able to survive on the rough-hewn hillsides, high above the Hudson Valley, hidden away to themselves, never having much need of outsiders. Except this season, there is need. Little else but need. Outsiders won't come to the apples. That was what Ashmi had told herself weeks ago when the apples began bursting with color. Something's got to be done before the crop goes to waste. She knew, without anyone telling her, that not one apple can be lost when apples are all you have to get by until always ended in a question she couldn't answer. And so she had tried not to ask it, even to herself, as she'd taken out the tattered baskets and prepared for the harvest. The question had nibbled at her even before that, as summer waned and inched toward autumn, and there had been no sign of her pa's usual homecoming. And so, with no one else to take charge of the harvest, she'd done so herself. She'd prodded her stepma, Clary, from the bed, and dressed the 7-year-old twins, who were neither Clary's blood, nor, in general, Clary's concern. In Clary's defense, she hadn't come to the mountain expecting or prepared to be a stepmother. She was only double the age of the 7-year-old twins, Dabeen and Blue, and just 3 years past Ashmi's 11. Only 14, and already Clary had birthed a baby that now lay buried out past the orchard, where Ash's mother rested under a marking stone that Ash and the twins had rolled there themselves. They'd selected a pretty one with flecks that glimmered russet in the sun like apple skins, like Ma's hair, her real Ma, who'd fed the children and stitched together clothes from scraps gathered or traded for, and had taught Ash, Dab, and Blue about the orchard, and had sent them there to hide, anytime hiding was needed. It had been hard to say when Clary's baby was lost, whether Clary would have done the same for her tiny daughter if it had survived. There'd been no way of knowing whether Clary had mourned or thought ahead about how she'd slipped the baby away to some safe place when Pa took to the bottle, and the leaning board and batten house turned into a bad place. Clary spoke in some strange language none of them understood. What little English she did know was poor enough that she couldn't have possibly explained where Pa had gotten her from, or if there was a home or a family out there or anybody she missed. Clary had the raven hair and dark eyes and high bones of the Indians who'd claimed these mountains before getting chased off to Ohio or married in with white farmers and timbermen. Her strange looks had been Ash's only clue to who or what she might be. Pa had just let her in the door one day last spring and said, "This is your new stepma. Name's Clary. You sure where things are?" The girl had stood there, stoop-shouldered and trembling a little, her gaze darting uncertainly toward the twins and Ash, as if she was more than surprised to end up in a 2-room house with 3 half-grown kids in it. And that was that. Pa had doted on Clary like a new prize for a while. It had given Ash the feeling that if things got too crowded and somebody had to go, it'd be Ash and Dab, and maybe Blue too, though Pa would be more likely to hang on to Blue for work since he was a boy. Ash might have gone to the woods and figured out how to get by on her own. She could hunt, and she could fish and forage. But with Dab and Blue being just 7, and Blue having a foot that healed lame after getting caught in the wagon spokes, there wasn't much way.
Thank you for listening to this clip, provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.